In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. I'll be speaking with Brian Fallon, lead vocalist and rhythm guitar player in the New Brunswick, New Jersey band Gaslight Anthem. They were on a hiatus beginning in 2015, and though they did play the occasional show again beginning in 2018 and had more shows recently, they haven't had any new music until this year, with a new album on the way due out in October. Their single, Positive Charge, is the recent coolest song in the world, and we'll hear a portion of that now, and afterwards I'll be back on the line with Brian for your Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Mighty Manfred here with you in Little Stevens Underground Garage. And for today's coolest conversations, my guest is Brian Fallon from New Brunswick, New Jersey's Gaslight Anthem. Their single, Positive Charge, is this week's coolest song in the world. Brian, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Man, thank you for joining us. Now, you guys formed back in like 2006, I think, in New Brunswick. And you wound up releasing like five albums before you went on hiatus in 2015. During that hiatus, you issued, you know, like another four solo albums. Now you guys are back together. You've got this full-length history books due out in October. But why did you guys go on hiatus back in 2015? What was going on?
Well, I mean, I think that after being that busy for that long, because we kind of went straight on. We didn't really take a break. We kind of wanted to make sure that everybody was feeling kind of like not, you know, a little dried up. And we didn't want to make a record that we wouldn't like later. Because I feel like sometimes bands don't take a break when they should, and then they kind of release a couple records that maybe later they're like, I wish we didn't do that one, or something like that. So we just decided to wait until we had something to say.
And so give me an idea of that, the schedule that you guys were keeping back then. I mean, how many days are you out on the road in a year?
I mean, some years are 200 dates out of the year. I mean, it was a lot. And then it just never kind of stopped from 2005 or 2006, really, up until, you know, probably 2015. I don't really think we took any significant time off in that whole time. We had albums, EPs, everything coming out.
Yeah, that is pretty brutal. It's like, remember years ago, I had gotten married, and
like the first year that I was married, got up on the floor where I was, rolled over on the floor where I was sleeping over, looked over at the drummer in his sleeping bag and sat up and I thought, wow, I've still spent, this year I've spent more time sleeping with this dude than I have my wife. It's just like, that's not good. That's not good for relationships, you know?
It's not. It is not. But, you know, you gotta, that's the life, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, so you took that time off and you did, you know, you pursued solo stuff. What was in the air? What was making what made you feel like the batteries were recharged? And was there any trepidation of that? Tell me why get back together?
Well, I mean, I think that after that long, you know, things can kind of, you get time to refocus on what you're doing. Plus we had we were in the pandemic, we were stuck inside for like 2 years. Yeah. That'll change things a little bit, you know, and it just felt like the right time. Like you can't, you know, it's like writing a song or creating a painting. You don't know when that thing is going to hit you, when that idea, and it, you know, and it just, it, but it does when it does. And we can't, we have to sit here and wait on the lightning to hit us.
Right.
And when it does, we look up stupefied and say, thank you very much. Hit me again, you know, and that's it. And so one day, you know, I was sitting there and I was like, well, yeah, that'd be cool again, you know, being a rock band that people like, that's good. And then, you know, and trepidation. Sure. There was a little trepidation. But, you know, I have our mutual friend, Bruce Springsteen. Have you ever heard of him? I'm not sure, but...
I don't know. Why don't you tell me about him?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Really nice. He's got a lot of time for the younger kids. And I said, can you give me some... I want to put this thing back together. Maybe you've been there, perhaps, in the 90s. Help. And then he did. So he helped me, gave me some advice, and I took it. And then,
well, what was the advice?
I mean, you know, a lot of it was just like basic stuff. I mean, to be too specific, I feel would breach the covenant of secret rock and roll bat phones.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but to, you know, it was basic advice, not, you know, it just sort of put things into perspective, which you need to, because when you're in it, it's a lot harder. But when you have somebody, you know, like an older brother who's been through it before, especially one who's been to it on that level, you know, you can really get some wisdom handed down to you. And I think, you know, why, just simple stuff. Watch out for this, or, you know, make sure you don't focus on this. It's not important. This is important. And you know, and it really helps with a guy who's had that long of a perspective. And so, you know, it was the one time I used the bat phone ever.
So when you guys were on hiatus, when the band was on hiatus, you didn't stop, you know, playing music, and you pursued a solo career. What were the other guys and the band doing during that time? Were they all still involved with music themselves, or had they stopped playing?
Yeah, I mean, they all had like things going on, you know. We're all musicians, so to stop is almost not a choice, even if we don't do it as a career. But they all had their own like bands and things like that, and they, you know, and they experimented with what they were trying to, you know, do that was outside of the band, and same as me. And they did, some of them did other things too, you know. And yeah, you just kind of, you got to fill the days, right? Keep it busy.
Right. So when you felt that the time was right and you got this advice from Bruce, was it you that reached out to the guys individually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all individually. I started with Ben, the drummer, and then I went, you know, up the list, because you know, you have to do it. I don't think it's something you could, I could have done collectively, like in a group setting. I think it would have been too many. It's just too many opinions. You know, you got to, and that's kind of the problem that some bands have. You got to have, somebody's got to steer the ship.
Yeah. So you're going up the chain there. So you spoke first with Ben, and then you got two Alexes in the band. The lead guitar player, Rosamalia,
Rosamilia,
right?
Yeah,
and Levine. And yes. And so I was wondering, you know what, when Hendrix, before Hendrix went to overseas, Jimi Hendrix went overseas to England, he was playing with Randy California in New York. But they also, and the reason that, you know, that's not his real last name, but he called him Randy California because he had another guy he was playing with in the same group, a guy from Texas. So he called him Randy California and Randy Texas. So with, I mean, you know, if you just say Alex, you got two dudes putting their heads up, you know, how do you distinguish those guys?
Well, generally speaking, they're one is on one side of the stage and one's on the other. So when you point your head and say Alex, it's whoever hears it first.
But what if you're in a practice space? What if you're recording in studio?
Yeah, then it all falls apart, really, actually. We don't know what to do. We haven't figured that one out yet. No, we just we call them by their last name.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
L or Rosamelia, like school.
Like school. So our coolest song in the world this week is Positive Charge. It's a single off the upcoming History Books album that's due out in October. Tell me, let's talk about this song here. I read somewhere that this was the first song that you wrote for the new album. Is that right?
Yeah. And you can hear, I think, in how it's written in the lyrics that it's about all that stuff, you know, all that trepidation and kind of, you know, how you change over time. And it definitely is about that kind of thing. So it seems like the timing was right and you can hear it in the song.
And so had you written this song before you reached out to everybody else, or this was something that after you guys were focused on, oh yeah, we're getting the band back together. And then you came up with a tune.
No, I wrote it before. See, okay. I, when I got home, I had this idea, you know, when I talked to Bruce, got some advice. And then I went home and I thought to myself, you know, I said, before any of this happens, I got to make sure I got the goods, you know, no pitching if the arm don't work. So you got to, you know, I said, I want to write four songs that I feel live up to what the Gaslight Anthem is. Yeah. And if I can do that, then I'll make the call. And so I did. This was the first one. And I said, well, that's one down. It sounds pretty good to me.
And so give me an idea about like the writing process thing is, do you, when you're coming up with a new tune, do you demo out the thing completely, or do you have kind of a sketch and bring it to the other guys, or what's the normal routine or a usual routine if you've got one?
Yeah, usually it's a lot of, it's very, very rock and roll, not a lot of demoing. I can't do I feel like the demo, you could kill a song that way because you don't, you know, then nobody gets their freedom to play on it. And I think, you know, my rule is if I can't play it on a piano or guitar and sing it into my phone and send it as a complete song, then it's not a song. So I just keep it really pretty simple, just a song. That's the thing, you know, and I let the other guys, you know, have their way and play their parts and experiment so they can feel, you know, like they're expressing themselves as well.
So how many songs did you record for the upcoming album?
You know, I think we only did the 10 that are on the record because we're very, very much we don't like to leave anything to waste. I'll tell you that the songs that like normally would be B-sides, I feel like there's a reason they're B-sides because they're not that good. So we just don't record them. They die quick. It's a brutal process over here in a Casa de Fallon. They get cut off real quick.
I hear that. When and where did you record the album?
We did it in October, December and January of this year, October of last year, we recorded one song, and then the rest of it we did December and January, and in Connecticut with Peter Kadis, who is of the national fame, and Kurt Vile, and the other band, Interpol, and in his studio up there, Tarquin Studios, it's called.
Very cool. So. The album comes out, History Books comes out in October. This today's the 11th of August. This Sunday, you're scheduled to play the Four Chord Music Festival in Pittsburgh. I know you've got dates in the U.S. September through October, but the last one I saw posted is October the 8th at the Knitting Factory in Spokane, Washington. The album isn't out until the 27th. Are you going to do more shows after it's released?
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. I think we're kind of holding back on the big shows until after it comes out. So we'll probably hit up the next side of the year will be the big dates coming out and a lot of touring.
Well, let me ask you this. So you got the band back together and sounds like, you know, it's a lot of great energy happening there. Got the album coming out, ready to do stuff, and you have been playing shows, but ready to really get to work again. What's the balance between the band now and your solo pursuits? I mean, what's the formula going forward?
Well, I mean, really, the formula is that there's not a formula. Mm-hmm. The formula is just kind of the band. I think you have to put, you know, like it's different when you're, if you all come up with songs, then maybe it's different, right?
Yeah.
But when, I'm the primary songwriter, so I get the basic ideas of the song. So really, you know, that was another thing we talked about, I think, in the group when we were first getting back together. It's like a lot of the music is, unless I came up with something that they really didn't want to do, but I can't see that happening right now. And so, you know, you just keep your focus on one thing. I think that's really important. It's hard enough to get a band off the ground, much less, you know, muddy in the water. You don't want any too many flavors of M&Ms. You know what I'm saying?
What's your favorite flavor of an M&M? What's your favorite M&M color?
Plain, and I like red and green Christmas M&Ms.
All right.
Anybody that doesn't like it, they go meet me in the parking lot, fight me. It's the best colors.
So we were talking about the single and this week's coolest song of the world, Positive Charge, but you put out another single recently, the title track to the upcoming album is History Books, and you were mentioned about using the bat phone, and he got Bruce on the line to give you some advice, but Bruce is actually on that track singing. How did that come together? Did that grow out of that initial conversation you guys had?
Yeah. So, we were talking and then I went home and then we were texting a little bit after the conversation, and, you know, he was really excited. He's a fan of the band, and we're friends too, outside of the music. And then he said, he goes, you know what you should do? You should write a duet for us. He's like, you write a duet. And he goes, and I'll come sing on it. And I was like, okay, sure. no problem. I'll handle that. Cause you know, that's not something I probably wouldn't have had the audacity to ask him, but when he offered, it becomes much more exciting and easy because you're like, well, all right, this is great. So I think having him on there, it's like really a long time coming, and having him be able to be on there is really special for us. And it's like a completion of a long thing.
So when you recorded it, was he in the studio with you?
No, he was actually, we recorded it right at the time that he started this current never ending tour that he's on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we actually had to send it to him, and he recorded it in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So he would call me and be like, I'm going to do it in Dublin. What do you think? Yeah. All right. Great.
Exactly. Yeah. Great. What are you going to say? No, I don't want you to Dublin. Go to Belfast for me instead.
Yeah. Who cares? Just do it. And then he sent it back. What do you think? I think it's great. What do you mean? What do I think? It's Bruce Springsteen on a song. Sounds pretty good to me.
Well, so there's the video for it is pretty wild. It's got this kind of maybe even sort of a Wes Anderson vibe to it. Who made the video for History Books?
Well, the video was done directed by Kelsey Ayers, who is a director and photographer that we've worked with for a long time. And she is a partner with my wife, Stacey Fallon, who's a film producer. And she's been doing that a long time. And they have this little gang that they come up with these ideas, and they do it for all these other bands. And I started saying, like, hey, I'm getting a little jealous here. Why don't you come up with something for me? What's going on? Oh, you got all this cool stuff for all these other bands. And so they came up with this concept of, like, you know, kind of this video that's like, you know, it's got a real bizarre story. And it you know, it almost has like a creepy Alice in Wonderland thing going on. And they came to me and they said, this is what we want it to look like. This is what we think the song feels like to us. And I was like, well, that's great. Let's do it. And they just did it. Not a lot of input from me on that one. Just the song.
You didn't say, I want somebody in stilts. You didn't say that?
No, I didn't. No, that's funny. I didn't say that. But I did say, they know I'm a big Pink Floyd guy, too. Yeah. So they know that I like that weird stuff. Anything, you know, you put anybody, put a bear on stilts. That sounds like Pink Floyd. I like it.
Are you much of a film buff overall?
You know, not really. I don't get a lot of, I like the films that I like.
Yeah.
And I feel like I like the classics and I like Back to the Future. I like a lot, but I'm not like a film guy. I don't really, I'm definitely a music guy or maybe like a biography music guy.
Oh, well, what's a couple of your favorite like music biography things?
Well, the Tom Petty one, the Conversations with Tom Petty, yeah, is probably my favorite. But I love that Sing Backwards and Weep from Mark Lanegan. Mm-hmm. I read that a couple while ago before he passed. And right now on the desk I got Don't Tell Anybody the Secrets I Told You by Lucinda Williams. So, you know, I'm kind of doing that. I also have another secret one about I don't know if it's out. It's not coming out yet. The about Nebraska. You see that one?
No, I haven't. And
there's one, Warren Zanes has got a book coming out about Nebraska. And I got that underneath the Lucinda Williams, second on the list.
Oh, man. Well, some good reading. And, you know, you'll be able to flip through those pages as you're sitting in the van, you know.
Yeah, no vans anymore. We're too old for that. We get a sciatica. It'll start acting up. We got the buses now.
Oh,
so we're good.
There you go. Yeah, I hear the sciatica. That's rough stuff, man. You got to do those stretches. Yeah. You got to get those, that there's this rubber band kind of thing that you put on your legs, you know, and you kind of do these exercises. I mean, for real.
Yeah.
Okay. You've done that.
We do that at the gym. Yeah, that's the warm-up every day.
Well, Brian, I got to say thank you so much for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I love the channel. You guys, I discovered Rocky Erickson from you guys years ago. Thank you very much.
Oh, hey, you know, about the Rocky Erickson thing, I get so, because you were talking about Pink Floyd, I find this so irritating when I would read about Rocky Erickson's name would come up. And that's something like America's answer to Sid Barrett. It's like, whoa, man, that street runs the other way. That's the street runs the other direction.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely. Yeah, I love Rocky. But you know what? I'm a Gilmore guy. I like the Gilmore stuff. So yeah. So I like the later, I guess, Pink Floyd. But Rocky, I love.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to give a listen now to History Books. It's the singles out now. It's also the title track to the upcoming album. It's due out in October. History Books from Gaslight Anthem here in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
What's that you say? I knew you when you don't look too much like my friend. Those history books filled up with crooks. Stories I don't want to read again. I've tried to live 1,000 years from here. When I think of it now,
some of the new single History Books. That's Gaslight Anthem here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to member Brian Fallon for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. The Cherry Drops, they are a band based in Flagler Beach, Florida, and a favorite of ours here in the Underground Garage. They've got three albums under their belt, and a new single's out called Magically Delicious. And we'll find out all about it and what else the band has been up to when their lead singer and frontman, Vern Schenk, joins me next time around for our Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.